sometimes.
First of all, I'd like to thank God first, because without him, this would not be possible. I'd like to thank this convention committee for asking me to come up and share the speaker's statement. That any member chosen to speak at a meeting need to be someone who is working and living the NA program of recovery, which are the 12 steps and the 12 traditions, in areas where there is not an abundance of any members with substantial clean time or experience with the 12 steps and the 12 traditions. It is impossible that a group inexperienced in Narcotics Anonymous may misunderstand the NA traditions and invite speakers from outside the NA fellowship. There are several ways to avoid this situation. Our basic text, for instance, remind us that an NA member from other areas are willing to drive long distance to support new groups. The speaker helps fulfill the group primary purpose, carrying the message of recovery to the addict who is still suffering. When speaking at a NA meeting, you should be carefully to deliver a clear message of recovery, identifying yourself as an addict recovering from the disease of addiction. It is not necessary to dwell excessively on your active addiction or war stories, because we all know what it was like. We all came to Narcotics Anonymous to stop using drugs. To stop using. And we are here to share our experience, strength, and hope of recovery. It's 5 o'clock in the morning. I just got to bed at 2 o'clock. I didn't want to come here because I'm tired and I'm beat and my feet hurt. But you got to give back what was so freely given unto you. My topic is, this too shall pass. Well, and I've been beating myself up all week like, what is this too shall pass? But I got a rude awakening yesterday when I went back to the hotel, and they had moved me out of my room when my room is paid up until tomorrow. So instead of me acting out and cussing people out, I stepped outside and I prayed, because I was real angry and like I wanted to just explode. My sponsor was with me, so when I sat back and then I stepped outside and I prayed, he's like, now you know what your topic is about. He said, because like the attitude and the anger and everything you just had inside of you that you wanted to explode and cuss these people out from, somebody in the morning shift make a mistake and get ready to take it out on the night people. He said, that feeling, he said, how's that feeling then? Because they gave me another room and told me I don't have to pay nothing but for one night for the whole weekend. And that feeling of anger had passed. But like, I'm an addict with going on 7 years clean, and like sometimes I go through emotions and I go through certain changes. I go through like emotions with my wife and my kids where like I just want to sit back and strangle them and like murder my wife because she gets on my last nerves. My daughter, she's turning around and just like want to just do things and just act like she is a Lexic and don't know what the hell she's doing. Every time I ask her why you ain't do what I told you to do, oh, I forgot. You know, and like I start going through some feelings and like I get pissed off, but I can't react on my emotions anymore. Cause see, I have a God of my understanding there, so it's some things that I had to like give to God and remove myself from them. Cause when I first came inside this fellowship, I need to qualify myself. When I first came inside this fellowship, I came inside this fellowship in 1988. I had 10 years clean. Notice, I said clean. I ain't say nothing about recovery. You know, it's a difference there. So, like, I decide to go ahead and celebrate 10 years clean with two bundles of dope and a 45 stuck down my throat. I had a base of text that had an inch of dust on it, never opened, and didn't even know what the first page was. I had a sponsor that I might see him once in a blue moon riding by, or I'm driving by him and just waving to him. I made meetings, because they said meeting makers make it. I made meetings for 10 years, but I ain't getting nothing out of none of the meetings because I was too busy not listening, looking at the mess and not listening to the message. This time I came around and like my anniversary date is the 4th of July of 1999. I decided to get my act together and get everything clean while the rest of America was calling itself celebrating and getting high. I did not want to use. That was my first time clean. When I decided to come inside this fellowship this time around, it was some things that I had to do. It was some things that, like, some pains and some struggles that, like, I had to deal with because once I started dealing with the pains and those struggles, they just, like, start going away. I never thought that I was going to be able to get rid of some of that pain. But this time I just didn't come inside the rooms. It's a thing where, like, my people say, well, then, you could go home. You got the TV, you got your radio, you got the stereo and everything plugged in. But if you don't turn it on, it's not going to work. So, like, this time around, I decided to come inside this fellowship. I just didn't get plugged in. But I got turned on. I started, like, getting into service. I'm a service junkie. I'm my sponsee family is service oriented. My sponsor is a service junkie. My sponsees, I'm turning them into service junkies. Cause like, sometimes, even though I'm coming up on 7 years, I have some weird dreams going on. Just like right now, I got to be going into the hospital soon to get half of my colon removed. Because they just, like, took 20 polyps out of me, and I got, like, over 60 to 80 more polyps inside of me. And if I don't get them removed, I'm going to wind up and have cancer within the next couple of years and die. I was fearful of that. I sat back. I prayed. I came inside the rooms. I shared on it. Some other people inside the room, because, like, I was sitting back inside my mind, and my disease riding me, talking about, look, you might as well just go ahead and get you one. You're going to die anyway. See, because, like, my disease is cunning, baffling, insidious. I mean, because it comes at me in all kinds of ways, but, like, when I start going to the meeting and sharing some things, that thought of using just wasn't there no more. The thought of being afraid wasn't there no more because I got with some other people because no matter what you go through inside this fellowship, somebody else has already been there. The only thing we have to do is allow ourselves to open up our mouth and say what is going on with you. You don't even have to go up to the person and ask the person for help because once you say what's going on to you, God is going to let help come to you. Long you don't tell help how to help you. You know? And this too shall pass. I don't know what the topic is. I mean, I know that's the name of it. But I'm just talking about me. Because, like, I go through pains. And, like, even on my job, I drive for a living. It took me 5 years to learn how not to have road rage. Cause like I used to be sitting back, if I can run over a car and drive over top of a car, or hit a couple of pedestrians and wouldn't get locked up, go ahead and run over some kids that want to dive between cars, I would love to just run them over. But I know they lock my ass up. You know, and like practicing some principles before your personalities that help give you the strength to like to help certain things that you're going through subside and go away. Cause like it's some storms that I go through that like just don't want to go nowhere, cause I want to take my will back and try to give myself the solution for the storm that I'm going through with my best thinking and my thoughts and my best thinking and everything got me a CD in Narcotics Anonymous. Because, see, I never thought that feeling when, like, your stomach get to flipping. Because I remember 5 o'clock in the morning, I was going around trying to get one more before the sunlight came out, and I act like I was a vampire and went and hibernate during the daytime. Because I didn't want nobody to see Skeletor. You know what I mean? I didn't want nobody to see me because I had, like, the same clothes on for, like, the past month. I had a pair of boxer drawers that turned around and became, I done tore them things off so much to wash up with, they became briefs and shit. You know what I mean? And that was the time when I took the time to wash up. Because, like, I didn't want to wash up too much because I might have missed something. And like, doing some things then, like, these 12 steps, which is so important to your recovery, would help some things that you're going through past, because once you start using these steps inside your life and being humble and taking suggestions and using your sponsors and creating a network, you can get through some things. I wanted a car. I wanted a car so bad I stole one. Went to jail. In recovery. You know, because like when I was in recovery, but I didn't start doing the things that I need to start doing yet. But then once I start doing these things here, I say, well, then I don't need a car. I'll go ahead and catch the bus, save some money, walk where I had to walk it, because when I was using drugs, I walked across the country. I mean, I might have been locked down in like a 4-block radius, but like, if they say the best drugs was across the other side of the town, I was like on foot. I was there. You know? And like a lot of things, I wanted it. I knew I didn't need. And like, Narcotics Anonymous then afforded me to be on my job now for the past 10 years. Because see, I was the type of person that I would work and put in all this extra overtime and be broke Monday, get paid on Friday, coming up to you Friday night talking about, can I get a cigarette? But now today, Narcotics Anonymous then taught me some things where, like, I'm growing up, I'm becoming a big boy, I take my check, I go home, I hate paying fucking bills, but I know I got to pay them. So I go ahead and pay the bills, and, like, it's all right to walk around there with a few dollars inside your pocket to start buying some things, because, like, everything don't come like this. Cause when I first, you know, when I first started buying some clothes and stuff, I started going to the thrift store. Then they had the $5 and $10 stores. It took a process, and like for me to start to let things go inside of my life, I had to start. It had to be a process, cause like. Right now, I'm going through a process, like, to try to let some things go inside my life that I'm just not fucking willing to let go. Because, like, when my mom passed away, my family wasn't never there. Then when she passed away, now, all of a sudden, everybody want to come in and try to take fucking charge. I got a resentment with my family. I don't mess with them. Cause like, it's some more growing that I got to do to let that part go. Like, I'm working on it. I'm like calling them on holidays, wishing them happy holidays and everything. If I remember their birthday, I call them up. Sometimes I just might stop by there and regret me stopping by there. But like my sponsor tell me, talking about, if you can love somebody here inside the fellowship and you can walk up to a perfect stranger and hug them and give them the unconditional love that we give each other here, I need to learn how to do that with my family. And like, I'm trying. But like, it's just like, it's a hurt that I need to let go for me to continue to grow. Because if I don't let it go, I'm going to be stuck. And it's not good being stuck here inside Narcotics Anonymous. That's not a good place to be at. Because once you get stuck, you start going backwards. And I'm not going backwards into a fellowship that didn't gave me so much. It didn't gave me my family. But it gave me back like, my daughters and my sons, they call me and we communicate and I go to them and I see them and I hug them. I give them whatever I can. I remember the time when I wouldn't give them shit because I like was taken away from me. I'm in contact, man, with one of my brothers that like, I don't like him. Cause like, I believe he the reason why my mom died. But he's trying to reach out and communicate with me. And some days I communicate with him and some days his number pop up on my phone and I just don't fucking answer it. Cause I mean, there's some things that I'm going through that I like need to go ahead and deal with that pain and address the issues so this too shall pass inside of me. It's some things also that like I have done in my addiction that like I am ashamed of. And like, I had to address these people and let them know that I did these things so that pain within inside of me could go away. You know, how do you walk up to your child and tell your child when you were 7 years old, nobody broke inside the house to steal all of your Christmas stuff? I did that because I was an addict. Some stuff you're going to do inside like your fourth, fifth, and fifth step and your eighth and ninth step, there was a lot of pain there with me. But once I went on and did my ninth and tenth step, that pain just like was gone. Behind the fact, I started admitting some things, some deep, dark secrets that I had what's inside of me, letting people know this is what I've done to you when you thought somebody else had done it. I was a liar. I was a thief. I was a con artist. A good manipulator. But when you come inside this fellowship, you got to start getting honest with not just you, but with other people. Because, see, I used to lie to myself a whole lot of times. When I stopped lying to me, some things started, just going on, passing away. And, I like that feeling, when you could get rid of all the garbage inside of you and make some room to get some spirituality in you. You know, because, you ever go to a meeting and somebody hug you, and when they hug you, they don't hug you the normal way. They hug you and pat you on the back like they burping you and shit. I love it. Because when they pat me on the back, I burp, get rid of some shit, make some room for some other stuff. Because, see, I know with this fellowship, I'm going to go through some things. And I'm going to go through some issues. And it's all right for me to have issues, and it's all right for me to have certain resentments, because, I don't have to get rid of everything in one day. This is an ongoing process, is what my sponsor told me, and this is what the literature told me. This is an ongoing process that's as you grow, you're going to go through some things, and then when you go through them things, you always could know that pain, that suffering, that's going to move on. You're going to have some feelings right then and there, but it's going to be all right. I know I used to sit up inside my bed a couple of years back and just cry all the time. Because there were some things that, I need to do. That's why I just started trying to reach out to my family. Because, I know that my mom wouldn't want me like this. But it's all right. I'm growing. Sometimes when, I get that desire that I want to use, I make some phone calls. When I can't get to hold to nobody, I sit up inside my house. I put a meeting on the radio. I throw a slap a CD in, pull out my tools, and read, and that desire goes away. I love Narcotics Anonymous. Narcotics Anonymous has afforded me so much stuff. Narcotics Anonymous didn't afford me a family, didn't afford me to getting to working, to travel, to go around the world. See, because when I was stuck inside the little four-block radius, I ain't know nothing about no damn Ocean City. I ain't know nothing about no world convention in Honolulu and Atlanta and all of this here. I ain't know about putting on a suit and a tie and going to address these people in schools and in churches and in hospitals and police stations and let them know about Narcotics Anonymous. Mm-hmm. I ain't know about going somewhere and doing a presentation to talk to a place to, so a meeting could go on for the addicts that haven't even found out that they is a fucking addict yet. They make it into the meeting to try to keep the doors open. I know I was going to be doing this here. And I love it. Just like a brother had just shared from the floor earlier, he seen a lady sleep, and next thing you know, he's turning around and seeing her picking up cups. I knew I was going to be inside these rooms picking up cups, stacking chairs, and hugging people and wiping tables off and fixing coffee and all of this here. People get paid to do that. But it's a sense of belonging. Because, see, like, everybody don't know that everybody is in service in Narcotics Anonymous in one way or another. Because, see, I might be getting away from the topic, but, see, I'm a service junkie. I already told y'all earlier I'm a service junkie. So, like, I'm going to talk about service no matter what. Because, see, like, when somebody comes through that door and you hug them or tell them to keep coming back, it's going to be all right. You being in service. Because, like, being a part of something is better than being a part of nothing. Why join a fellowship and not getting involved with it? Why have 12 staff to take and you only want to take 1, 2, and 3? The fourth one to petrify you, and the only thing the fourth one do is going to let you know about yourself. I know people, too many people that procrastinate on the fourth step. Why? The pain you go through in that step shall pass. Fifth, sixth, and seventh, it's okay. When you get to the eighth and the ninth, you get stuck again. Because you got to make that fucking list. Why? Don't get stuck there. Do that list. And get rid of some of that pain and some of that guilt. You know how, like, your mom and your dad, you tell you don't take your ass off the step. And every time you say, well, as soon as they go back in the house, your ass want to shoot around the corner, and you got in trouble, and you got caught, and got that ass whooped. That's what happened here. When you don't take the steps, and somebody suggests you take the steps, and you don't want to take the steps, you get that ass spanked. Then when you got a spanking so much, then you want to come back and start doing the steps. This time, you want to take some suggestions and you want to be open-minded. I'm trying to tell you right now, before you get that ass spanked, sit on the steps, do some steps. Don't get me wrong, don't do them alone, and don't be your own fucking sponsor. Get your sponsor, do your steps, be honest with yourself. Because, see, I was a liar. I told y'all that earlier. It was hard for me. I don't know about you, but you might not never lie to yourself. And you might not know what I'm talking about, but see, it was hard for me to get honest. I remember the first time I shared, and, like, I didn't know where it came from, because, like, they told me, they say, like, David, pray first, ask God to remove you and to let him in, and I shared on some things that, like, I didn't want y'all people to know. I didn't want y'all to know that, like, when I was younger that I was abused, sexual abuse. I didn't want y'all to know that I had got tied up and blindfolded and had to suck somebody's dick when I was 7 years old. You know what I mean? These are some things that men, that where I come from, men just didn't talk about. Then I used to think I was the cause of why that shit happened, but then I realized that I was the victim. And see, that was some pain, that was some stuff that I had to go up inside my fourth step and like to let my sponsor know. And my sponsor said, David, it wasn't your fault. You didn't ask for this. You was the victim. You wasn't a predator. You didn't ask for this. This shit just happened. We had sick people out here. And this was some sick people do. But it's all right. Because, see, I never doubted my manhood. But it was just like, some things that I had inside of me that was hurting that, like, I never wanted nobody to know about me, and it kept me fucking stuck. When I shared about these things and that pain went away, that pain too shall pass. Cause see, I need to let somebody know this. Cause like, I'm not the only one here inside this fellowship that been molested, male or female. So I need to let you know that it's all right to talk about. Let that shit go. Do some work. And if you're new inside this process, if you don't understand what the fuck is going on or what we're talking about, just keep coming back until you hear your story. Because see, the second time I came around, I still didn't hear my story until I went to somebody somewhere and the boy was talking about Gilligan Islands. Y'all remember Gilligan Islands? And like, the top, we used to sit back and talk about who you will fuck on Gilligan Island. And everybody was talking about, I would have fucked Ginger. Me, myself, I would have fucked Mr. Harold because he had the money. I'm being honest. This is my act of addiction. That's who I would have fucked. But today, it has to be Mary Ann and Ginger. Because I'm that kind of person today. You know, but just keep coming. Do some step work. Get you a sponsor. And no matter what, you don't have to use. Thanks for allowing me to share.